Welcome to Small Biz Indie. I'm your host, Ryan Henry. We're recording from the Southside Business Initiative, located at 6825 Madison Avenue, Suite B in Indianapolis. Today, our guest is Cindy Garlock with Organizing Remedies. How are you doing today, Cindy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Anytime. Cindy, you are a professional organizer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us, how did you get into the field?
I actually got into the field. I'll share a short story with you. I have a friend, Pam, that lives in Tucson, and she, well, actually, she's okay to get for me to tell this story. I should say that because I offer complete confidentiality with my clients, so the fact that I'm mentioning Pam would make you think maybe I'm not about that, but I'm all about that. So she's told me that I could tell the story, and I always waited on her, 10, 15 minutes, every time we went there, before we went shopping. And finally, 3 years ago, I said, "What is taking so long?" She's like, "I can't decide what to wear." I said, "Let me come help you." And she said, "No, don't come up here." So I did what any good friend would do. I ran up there, and then I saw what she was talking about. The closet was, the rods were bowed, and everything was jammed, and there was so much stuff. I said, "Well, what are we going shopping for today?" "Oh, a white blouse." I said, "Oh my gosh, honey, I see 4 white blouses, 2 have tags." And then she completely lost it. She started tearing up and said, "They don't fit right. Now I don't have the receipt. I can't find the receipt, so I can't return them." And all this. And she's like, I have so many clothes, and I can't find anything to wear. And nothing fits right. And it's just, I've spent so much money, so much time." And I said, "Well, we're not going to go shopping today. We're going to shop in your closet." So I went down and got garbage bags for donation and consignment. And some things just needed to be trashed, and we started going through it. 8 hours later, we had 4 bags of consignment, 8 bags of donation.
Wow.
And yeah, she still had plenty of clothes. Pam loves to shop. But Pam's not a hugger. I mean, we go there every year, and after we see them for a few days, she's like, "Hey, you know, like, see you next year," just kind of waves. And so I knew when I asked her how she felt about her closet, like, "Oh, what do you think about your closet?" She grabbed me and hugged me. I knew I had made a difference. And she said, "You know, you could really do this for a living, like actually help people." And I was like, that's where Organizing Remedies was born.
So then you didn't start off your career as a professional organizer?
No, I'm actually a pharmacist by trade. But after 23 years of 14-hour days every other weekend, no breaks, unless you could squeeze them in, I was tired. And so I found a different way to help people.
And so do you enjoy organizing much more than you did working at a pharmacy?
Yeah, it's completely different. It's just completely different. One-on-one, but you can actually spend time with people and actually listen to them and see what they need and help them with what they need.
So it's more of being able to see directly the impact of your work.
Right.
So would that be the why you're in business today? Because you love giving people that feeling of freeing them from
their stuff.
Yeah.
I'm actually, my tagline is actually the cure for your clutter. So I actually do a lot of decluttering with people. A lot of people have just way too much stuff. And when you find that when you have less stuff, you have less to organize. So I kind of kid, a lot of people kid, the best way to get organized is to get rid of most of your stuff.
And so that leads into a philosophy of minimalism, correct?
Right. I feel strongly about that too, that if you actually keep what you love, I mean love, not like, but love, and what you use, you'll have everything you need. All the rest of it's just clutter.
So then what are some of the common things that Americans hold on to that they don't need to?
A lot of things that they hold on to are heirlooms that they feel like they can't get rid of. Just stuff. They get free stuff from events. I mean, they just have way too many shoes because they need one in every color or one in every color. Or just, "Oh, I look good in black. I'll have 19 black shirts," or "I'll keep 23 mugs because what if the other 22 break?" kind of thing. And it's just that mentality of having, you know, a replacement, where I really believe if you can replace it in less than 20 minutes for less than $20, let it go. And I've done that numerous times and with clients, and you just don't remember what you let go of. I mean, if you really, you just don't remember.
So then individuals who have way too much stuff and have to look for things, they're wasting a lot of time out of their day, correct?
Yeah, actually the average American spends 7 hours a week looking for their stuff, whether it be their glasses, their cell phone, their keys, that punch bowl, whatever it is, but 7 hours a week. So actually by doing a 3 or 4 hour session with me, we go through and get rid of what you don't need and organize so you can find what you do need, and simple solutions really add up to big relief. Then when we do that, you instantly get that time back. They say, oh, I don't have time to do a session. But actually, when you do the session, immediately you get that time back. You get that money back because you're not going to the store again because you can't find whatever. And I honestly believe I can bring a calm to people's daily living, where you're not running the store at 10 o'clock at night to get something that you have to make for something else because you couldn't find it in your pantry. It's stressful. It costs money. It costs time, aggravation, and it's all unnecessary by a few simple solutions that I can help you come up with.
So basically, you provide a complete new way of life for your clients.
Right. They basically tell me what's working, what's not working, and what their ideal space is, whether it's just to find the bed in the catch-all room when their in-laws are coming for the holidays, or if it's just, I can't ever find anything and my kids are always late, or I'm always late for work, I'm always stressed out, whatever it is, I can help.
So then, what types of individuals do you primarily work with?
I primarily work with women. I've had a couple of gentlemen customers, but primarily women that just have too much stuff. And they're overwhelmed and they've been dealing with it for years, and they've moved it to different places to find out that they don't want to live that way anymore, and that their kids want all their stuff, and really the kids are like, Mom, Dad, no, I don't. And they're like, well, we should, and I strongly believe in blessing other people as far as donating back to the community where, you know, people actually need the stuff that you're letting go of.
So how often do you meet somebody who's saving things for their children that their children want nothing to do with?
Pretty much all the time.
So it's a pretty common problem.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, say 50 years ago, people had 100,000 items. Think about that. This was staggering to me. They had, say 50 years ago, people had 100,000 items in their home, and they had 10 children, just for easy math sake. So 100,000 items, 10 children. So it got, all their, that stuff got spread out. Well, now, today, we have 300,000 items in our homes, 300,000 items, and we have 2.5, 3 kids. So the amount per child is just escalating.
So is that related to easier access to consumer goods, or just in general that Americans are holding on to things more than they used to?
I think that it's actually not the consumption that concerns me, but more the compulsive consumption. You know, where this black shirt looks good on me, I'll get it in 3 different colors. Oh, I need one in white too, and I need one in tan. So all of a sudden you're coming home with 7 shirts when really the one black one is what you needed. Or because you think you're saving a bunch of money, buy 2, get 3 free, where you only needed 1 to start, maybe 2, but because you got those 3 free, you brought them home.
So it ends up, once again, a lot of those things where a consumer sees something extra and they just see what they perceive to be the value of an extra item that goes on to an even larger pile.
Right, and like with the fashion industry, we used to have, you know, 4 seasons a year. You know, like in Indiana, we have 4 seasons a year. Well, the fashion industry actually has 52 seasons a year. Because if you actually watch TV or watch that, it's like, okay, Merlot is the color today, navy blue is the color next week, deep green is the color, you know, whatever. And they just keep telling you, you have to have this skirt or this length or this, it has to be this short, or it should have this ruffle or whatever. So you're constantly, if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, then it just, and then the fad goes away in 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden you've got all the stuff that you feel like you spent all this money on, so you can't really get rid of, but yet you liked it. So it just stays in your closet till I come help you.
So then once a person has a full closet and they can't fit anything else in there, what would you recommend they do to start thinning that out?
You really just need to take it. I basically come over and we take everything out of the closet. I mean, you just don't even know what you have. If I had a dollar for every time somebody said, oh, that's where that went, or there it is, or whatever. I wouldn't actually need to work actually as a professional organizer. So take everything out, and then when you put like stuff with like, you can see. I had a client a few months ago now, well, probably a year ago now, and I put, he was one of my gentleman clients, and he didn't want to help do anything. He didn't want to help at all. So what I did was put all his short sleeve shirts together, all his long sleeve shirts together, all his pants together, whatever, and I'd call him in. I'd say, come on, it's time. I'd almost have to drag him in, but it was okay. And then he was like, really? Everything's in color order? Because I put it in the rainbow color order. I said, really? In color order. I'm like, yes, because I want you to see that you have 7 faded navy blue t-shirts. He's like, you're the professional. But once you see you have that many, then you can let a few go. Whereas if you ran into a navy blue shirt every 6 or 7 items, you wouldn't really realize that you had that many.
So it's really just getting them the big picture of exactly what they're dealing with.
And there's only, you know, so many days in the year. Like, the amount of clothes that people have, you know, it's like you need to change clothes every 4 hours for a year, and you still wouldn't get through your closet. I'm exaggerating, but with some people I'm not, you know.
Only slightly.
Yeah, and you really wear 20% of your closet. You and I, we wear the same thing all the time. You know, just think about how many times you're like, oh, I was going to wear that. Oh, it's in the laundry. Because you've worn it because you like it. So
it's following the strategy that every person has their favorite pieces that they rotate through, and then the rest just go by the wayside.
You just never end up picking them. So actually, after I help a client purge their closet and we get it all organized, I actually suggest that they put a box in their closet. So that when you put on something, and honestly, I mean, people have enough clothes, so if you put something on and you're tugging at it because it feels too short or it's not the right color, and if you don't feel like $1 million, I mean, seriously, everybody's got enough clothes. If you don't feel like $1 million in whatever you just put on, donate it, because you're never going to end up wearing it. It's part of that 80% that you're just keeping. And the other thing is, too, that you're keeping it from somebody who could probably actually use it. That you could bless somebody else in your community that doesn't have, you know, all those clothes, that they would just love it. And that helps a lot of my clients live with less, because once I start saying, well, we could donate it to Thrifty Threads or wherever, some of these women's shelters, that sort of thing, they're like, oh, somebody else can use it? Yeah. And then once they get going, then all of a sudden the bags start filling up.
So then this is another thing that you do with your business, is to make sure that the items that are discarded by your clients are going to a cause where they're still going to be used.
Right. I sometimes, depending on what package people choose, one of my options is to take things to a donation place. So I usually say, well, hey, I'm going to take it to Thrifty Threads or Third Phase or Open Doors in Westfield or whatever, because they actually get back right to the community. The people that come there actually can get things for free instead of having to go to a big box store and buy them for $6 or $9 or whatever, they can actually get what they need for free. So it makes a difference. And most people, they're like, oh, wherever you want to bring it, just get it out of here. So they're happy, I'm happy, the donation, the shelter or whatever is happy. So it all works.
Excellent. So Cindy, let's move on to a topic plaguing business owners, and that's how to stay organized throughout your workday. I imagine you have several great pieces of insight to help us all stay a little better organized, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of it just comes from starting out setting up those systems. You think, oh, I don't want to set up a whole calendar and figure out all those expenses and that sort of thing. But it really, you really have to take advantage of the tools that are available. And whether it doesn't matter whether you choose, we were talking about this earlier today with a client, whether you choose a paper calendar or electronic calendar, whether you choose to do like for mileage, do Mile IQ, you know, where you can do an app on your phone, or you write it down every time you get in and out of your car. Whatever works best is what you should do. Now, I've been a huge paper person for forever, and everybody's trying to get me to go electronic and digital, and you know, and it's nice to have everything on your phone, your calendar on your phone when you're talking to somebody. Yeah, I can make that appointment. But I think I might be going back to paper for some of it and using my apps for my reminders, because I just want to be, I'm a visual person. So even though I can see it on my phone, it's just not, you know, sometimes I forget to hit add or something. And I'm like, I thought that was today. I swear it was today. Well, if it was on paper, it would be ingrained on my paper. Another thing is if you do time blocking where you set up your calendar, then you know exactly what you're doing. You don't have to think about it. You're just like, oh, you can look at it the day before. One thing I do with my business is I confirm, I know you probably do this too, is confirm your appointments the day before. Absolutely. I just call and say, hey, I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock. And I would say 25% of the time, something will happen and people say, oh, I'm not feeling well, or something happened in my family, or, oh, I completely forgot, or whatever. It saves you driving over there and waiting and all that sort of thing. So it makes a huge difference by just confirming, even though it's kind of upsetting to not have that session, and you can't really put anybody else in that session, but at least you didn't do all that other stuff where you could spend time working on your business. Another thing I recommend is having a work bag that you bring along. I mean, everybody has a work bag, but I actually have two separate bags. I have one that I use for sessions where I have my label maker, can't go anywhere without my label maker, and tape and scissors and that sort of thing, and everything I would need for an actual session. I actually bring little signs that say donate and trash and consign and that sort of thing, so it makes it faster to go through everything. And then I also have a bag that I bring, that I just leave in my car, that has thank you notes and stamps and a book. And so if I get to a session early, you're not just playing on Facebook all day long. You can actually, oh, I should write a thank you note to that person, or I can call and confirm with that person. And that makes a difference where it's one less thing to do later in the day, where you find that little 5 minutes of time where you can actually use it for something productive. What other tips do I have? Yeah, just to use the tools that you can to make life easier, but, you know, whatever works for you, whether it be paper or electronics. One thing I want to mention, too, is not to forget to work on your business. Sometimes we're so busy working in our business, we forget to work on our business. So that's always, you know, and to set time on your calendar to do that, to actually say, like, I usually have Monday as my office day, so I try and write all my thank you notes and make my plan for the week and make all my calls and prospecting and whatever else I do on that day. But it's really dedicated just to working on my business that day.
So scheduling out the priorities that need to happen.
Right, because otherwise they don't happen. You know, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't work. It doesn't happen.
Absolutely. So Cindy, how much value would you put into the philosophy of preparing your day the night before?
Oh, yeah, that's one thing I was going to mention. I didn't write it down. I'm glad you mentioned that. I actually started something, probably 6 months ago. It's called the 10 at 10, because a friend was saying, oh, I don't know. We were going to get together to work on our businesses. And I said, what are you going to work on? She's like, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, I'm going to come up with 10 things at 10. I said, how about doing 10 at 10? And she said, I don't know what that means. And I said, let's write down 10 things that we're going to, at 10 p.m., that we're going to do the next day. Even if 5 of them are phone calls with the person's name and phone number, when you hit the ground running in the morning and you already have their name and number, you know, you check 5 things off your list and you're set, you feel like you're making progress already. And so then I kind of kidded her one night. It got later, and I said, well, I guess it'll have to be 11 at 11 or 12 at 12, because you put it off because you might be working on something or you're watching TV or whatever other things that are you're procrastinating, basically, which I do like everybody else does. So she said, I think I'll stay up till 1, so I only have to do one thing tomorrow. And I said, no, and then it goes to 13 and 14 and 15. But that's been really helpful, just to wake up and you already have a to-do list. And another thing that's helpful is to clean off your desk when you're done at the end of the night. It's just kind of get things prepared for the next morning. So you walk, and so I've had this happen where, you know, you walk in the next morning and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where's that thing I was working on or whatever. Just taking 5 minutes at the end of the day makes a huge difference.
So essentially decluttering and organizing both your things and your home office as well as your thoughts leads to a more productive day.
Right. It makes sense. If you already know what you're going to do the next day, you've kind of already thought about what conversations you're going to have or what meetings you're going to have, and you've already thought through that, and it makes it much more easy to get started and check them off your list, which motivates you to get more done that day.
Excellent. And so, Cindy, what kind of challenges have you faced in building your own business?
I would say most commonly is marketing, which is funny that I'm talking to you about marketing, and we've worked together a few times before, but I think just marketing, you think that everybody's just going to find out that you organize and declutter, and they're just going to be like, I need that, and they're just going to come to you, and like, when can I schedule my appointment? But really, you have to talk to people, and it's a personal business. It's, you know, they're inviting me into their homes, their most precious spaces, to go through things that are they've held on to for 10, 20, 30 years, that sort of thing. So I think just talking to people and marketing to get to the people that can use your services, that want your services, that can afford your services, I think has been the hardest thing. That and like technology, me figuring out all these different things with social media and graphics and all that. I've learned so much about Word and Excel in the last year, I can't even tell you. But it's basic stuff that I didn't have to know as a pharmacist. I never had to make flyers. I never had to market. I never had, you know, had to do all that kind of stuff. I never had to make a receipt or a form or anything. So everything's been new. So I've learned a lot, but it's been enjoyable, but it's some days are harder than others as an entrepreneur, as you know.
Absolutely. The 40-hour week is non-existent.
Yeah, right.
So out of all of the methods that you've used to market to your prospective customers, what have you found to be the most successful?
I would say actually just I'm slow to figure it out, but I think just not so much networking, but just social things where I'm in a couple of social sororities or service sororities, and then you just talk to people, and they're like, oh, they find out what you do, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. You just started talking to them. I'm like, well, I could use that. And then you just, it's very casual. They don't feel like they're in a meeting where they have to get your business card and you have to get their business card. And it's not cold calling either. So I found that's just the best. But like I said, I work with mostly women, and women just are social people and just want to talk, and then they're like, yeah, I kind of like you, I know you, I trust you, you seem like you know what you're talking about, and I'd like you to come over and help me because I feel like we're friends now.
But it's having to establish the trust that they let you into their home, and then to give them advice on everything they've accumulated should go.
Right. Yeah, we don't get rid of everything, but I also want people to know that there's no judgment for me. It's completely confidential. I don't share that I've worked with you or your address. If we do before and after pictures, I don't share the information about the address or the person or whatever. I just use the pictures to inspire other people to say, oh, that looks like my office. Oh, you made it look like that? Oh, that's amazing. So no judgment. I'm just glad you called and that you're gonna start and do something about it. It's funny, I have a lot of clients that say, why didn't I call you forever ago? Because they're so relieved. The relief is palpable. And a lot of women ask me, do you accept hugs? Which is really funny because then it just brings me back to when I worked with Pam that first time. And I'm like, I do accept hugs because I know how you feel. You're so relieved.
So it's when you finally have a client who you've completed a job and they want to give you that hug, what do you feel?
I mean, it's just like, I just know they're so relieved. It makes me so happy, like, that I was able to help them. And just, I don't know, it's just every time it feels, it doesn't get old, I guess, is what I should say. I work side by side with people, so when I get to the client's home, I show up and they're like, oh, I didn't know you were going to show up. Because they're thinking that they've avoided this room for 12 years or the basement or whatever. And so they're like, oh, you showed up. And I'm like, well, I called 24 hours ago. They're like, yeah, but I was hoping to walk the dog or do laundry or just about anything else other than attack that room. And within a couple of hours, it's really funny because they start talking like me. They're like, well, I don't love this. I'll hold up something. Well, I don't love it. Well, I don't know when I used it last. And then by the end, their posture's different. They're smiling. They're talking a lot more. They're joking. Like, and then the speed of them letting go of stuff is they're on warp speed because it just feels so good. Once they get over and start letting things go and realizing it's blessing somebody else and that they can feel the relief, the speed is just magnified. Wonderful. It's really cool to see.
So then when you work with a client, is it common that they will keep to those practices moving forward, or is it something where you may encounter them again one day?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we're all creatures of habit, and it's hard I try and transfer my skills as a member of, they just changed the name of it. It used to be the National Association of Professional Organizers. Now it's the National Association of Productivity Consultants and Organizing something. It's a big long name. But basically I try and transfer my skills while I'm there. So I try and ask lots of questions so they can hear themselves saying it if I'm not there. Like, oh, do I love it? Oh, you know, that sort of thing. But unless you get super organized, and I actually offer a maintenance program, so if people get organized, they can also sign up for that, so they can, you know, a few months later say, hey, can you come back? Or in a few months, I call them and say, hey, how are you doing? Let me come back and let's tweak what's working, what's not working, or make it a little better, or, you know, kind of start over. It's never as bad as the original time, but... Life's busy. That's why you have to, you know, try and think of as many simple solutions as you can so that people can maintain that. That's what I try and do. Is a lot of people, if I help somebody in their office, I'll say, well, do you want to do it alphabetically? Or are you thinking color coding? What are you thinking? They're like, well, you're the professional. Well, that's not how it works, because I'm not going to be here when you have to file your electric bill or whatever it is. It has to be, how do you think about it? If I say this word, what do you think? So there's a lot of communication there, like back and forth. And then we file according to that. Or where would you look for this? Or how do you think, you know, about this? Or whatever. And then they can find it again. Or it's easier. It's an easier system because it comes naturally to them versus me setting everything up and they have no idea where to find anything because they don't think that way. Which doesn't work.
So them needing a way that makes sense to them.
Right, yeah. So that's why I ask a lot of questions. And a lot of times I'll say, you're the professional. No, I want to do it how you would think to do it, because then when I'm not here, it'll come naturally to you on how to find it, saving you time and money and aggravation, which is my goal.
Fair enough. What organizations are you aware of that would be happy to receive things that people no longer want, or things that people feel like they could break away with?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a loaded question, because depending on where you live in the city or country, there's just so many places. So what I actually do if I don't know where to donate something is I'll put in that name of the item plus and then the city, and then you can usually find somewhere. Place I really usually recommend, it's on the north side of Indy, they'll travel fairly far to pick up everything, is Thrifty Threads. They're 86th and Ditch. And you just call them and say, hey, I've got some stuff to donate. And they say, okay, this is the day we're coming out or whatever. Salvation Army will also come out and get stuff. And if you donate to their family stores, 100% of their what you donate goes to their addiction programs. And so there's a lot of different places that you can donate that you don't even realize. I mean, you can give school supplies to teachers. You can give sheets and blankets to pet shelters, you know, where they, you know, where you take your furry friends, and they go through a lot of blankets and towels, as you can imagine, yes. In one of those places. There's places to donate wedding dresses that they actually take your wedding dress and they'll actually make little outfits for little ones that have passed too soon. So if you don't know what to do with your wedding dress, but you don't want to really keep it because you don't have anybody, like in my case, I don't have children. And my niece is about an inch by an inch wide, so she's not going to probably wear my wedding dress, so I think I'm going to do that and help a few families have a little outfit for their little ones that have passed too soon. There's a place called Changing Footprints that they take all sorts of shoes. They give shoes to people who don't have shoes, not better shoes, but people who don't have shoes, and they're found at a lot of running stores. And so actually, if I don't know how this works exactly, but I can send them a PDF of these places, and they can then find places in their community to give back that makes a bigger difference than just giving to a big box store.
Excellent. And Cindy, how would someone get a hold of you if they wanted to learn about these organizations or about the relief that you can bring to their life?
My cell number is 317-442-2450. If you feel more comfortable emailing me, you can do that at Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at Organizing Remedies, O-R-G-A-N-I-Z-I-N-G, it's really long, R-E-M-E-D-I-E-S.com. You can find me on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram. So you can find me any of those ways.
Excellent. Well, Cindy, thank you for joining us today. And if you would like to get in contact with Cindy Garlock, please give her a call, send an email, or visit organizingremedies.com. I'm Ryan Henry with Small Biz Indy. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Find everything for your business in our Small Biz Marketplace. Visit henrymg.com/marketplace and save 10% off your first order with promo code SmallBizIndy. This podcast is produced by Henry Marketing Group of Indianapolis, Indiana. Get new episodes automatically on your preferred listening device by subscribing to Small Biz Indy in iTunes, Google, or on our website, henrymg.com/smallbizindy. For information on today's guest or to be a guest on Small Biz Indy, send us an email, info@henrymg.com.